Hey, welcome back everybody to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, and normally we would be talking about a specific episode of the X-Files, working our way through season one or doing one of the nominated episodes by the listeners. But this is a special episode because I'm very happy to tell you that this is the first interview the X-Cast is doing. And I'm being joined today by a very special guest, which is Mr. Matt Allaire. Hello, Matt.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. You are, of course, the webmaster for the X-Files Lexicon, which is one of, if not the biggest online resource for the X-Files that's been going for many years, as well as a talented director, editor, writer for quite prestigious websites and magazines like Den of Geek and all kinds of things. So I'm really pleased to speak to you today, and thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm going to start off by, before we get into talking about you and the X-Files Lexicon and your career and everything, I'm going to start off by asking you the standard five questions of X, which I ask all the guests when they come onto the X-Cast. So, firstly, what got you into the X-Files?
Well, I, by chance, in its first broadcast run, I saw Ice when it first aired, and that really just blew me away. I was still in college at the time, so I really couldn't get into it until the following year. So from season two onward, I was, you know, faithfully watching it.
That's a really good episode to get into, isn't it, really? Ice, it's probably one of the best of the first season. Yeah, it's a really good way in.
Indeed, it's just an amazing, it was obviously riffing off of Joseph Campbell's story and The Thing, but still it was such an interesting episode, and you know, I was busy in college, so I couldn't really watch much more of the first season, but then, you know, I was able to peacefully start following it from season two onward.
Yeah. So for the second question, what is your favorite episode of The X-Files?
Well, I'd have to say it would be Gethsemane.
Really?
The season four closer, yeah. I thought it was interesting sort of see this progressive arc with Mulder becoming more skeptical, and it's interesting because a lot of fans seem surprised with the new series that Mulder is skeptical again, but it's really like, well, we've been here before, so you know, I just watched it again for Den of Geek, and it's an amazing episode, and then everything that led into throughout season five as far as the mythology aspect. All that. It was just a really interesting arc for them to go with Mulder, and it showed the complexity of the idea of faith being not all, you know, cut and dry to either believe or you don't believe, that most people go through phases where it's like, well, maybe, maybe not, and so that's one of the reasons why it's so interesting.
It feels like quite a different finale as well, doesn't it? I think from many of the others, which were had all the multiple, you know, supporting characters, and there was lots of, you know, twists and turns and adventure. This one was a lot more differently structured. So no, I think that's a really, really good choice, which one that a lot of people don't tend to say. So I think that's a great choice. Off the back of that then, what would you say your favorite season of the show would be?
Well, you have to understand that I'm a fan of the first four seasons, so it's always extremely difficult for me, but I would have to say season three is probably my all-time favorite. It's sort of a toss between that and season four. The reason why I love season three so much is it's so eclectic, with kind of the different directions that the season goes into, and there are just so many great, you know, episodes and moments from that season that it's always really tough for me. But that would be the one I would have to pick.
Yeah, I think I said on the previous podcast that season three is very much the general one that everyone seems to pick, and I think your reasons are absolutely right. It does have the real blend of standalone episodes and intriguing mythology episodes that just make up the, you know, and it was at its prime at this point. So I think that's a really good choice as well. So the next question would be, who is your favorite character in the X-Files? This doesn't have to obviously just be Mulder and Scully. It could be anybody.
Well, it's tough because I really identify with Mulder a great deal. But I would probably have to say that Deep Throat is the character that I have the most affection for, because he was sort of the mentor, you know, for Mulder, and really kind of set him on the path of where he went. And it's not that different from the relationship between Ben Kenobi and Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, or the kind of things that Joseph Campbell were talking about, as far as, you know, the saint-like figure who sort of helped set the hero on his path and all that. So I have a lot of fondness for that character. We actually were able to interview Jerry Harding not too long ago, and it was really great and amazing to do that.
Wow, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on the site. That must have been a great experience. What was he like? Was he really fond of the character still, and was he still enjoying having played the role?
He's getting up there in age now, so his memory isn't as acute as it used to be. So I could went into it knowing that, but he was really gracious and, went over everything we went over. And I'm just lucky that we got him, because unfortunately, with obviously some of the characters, the older actors there may not be around much longer. So, you know, when there's an opportunity to speak to some of the more elderly type actors from the show, the more elderly type actors from the show, then it's really a great honor and opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. I believe you interviewed William B. Davis as well, didn't you, not so long ago?
A couple of years ago, yes.
Again, that must have been a really, really exciting experience, because he seems like a really lovely man, an intelligent man, and yeah, that must have been great as well.
Indeed.
So the last question would be, what is your favourite moment from The X-Files in general? Do you have a particular moment that you think about, or a scene or anything like that that leaps out at you?
Well, easily, it would have to be Paperclip, and it would be the scene where a director Skinner is telling off CSM, you know, with Albert Hochstein and all that. That was just such a cathartic moment for the fans to see that, and it was interesting that, you know, leading up to that, that's the first time that we really see it them kind of not as cocky and confident as he had been. He sort of is really looking vulnerable for the first time in a while. And so, yeah, it was just such a great, great moment for the show.
It really was, wasn't it? It was the moment where Skinner becomes the Skinner that everybody knows and loves, really. So that's a great choice. And it's a scene that always sticks in the memory from a really good run of episodes, really. Well, thank you for that. That's a good little expression of your personal fandom there. But let me get on to asking you then about the main reason we're here, which is primarily to ask you about the X-Files lexicon, which obviously you established in 2005. So it's been going quite a while now. What was the reason for launching that fan site in the first place?
Well, I had been involved with another child actor website, and then there was I was involved with the Harry Potter lexicon before that. And when I was helping with them, I was thinking, well, gee, you know, there should be something like this for the X-Files. And then when I had done Google searches and whatnot, I really found out that apparently there was not really the type of a reference website that I thought there should be. And so I thought, well, okay, since no one has really done it, I went ahead and set up the site, had a friend help me, wrote 12 pages that went online, and then we went from there.
So, because the X-Files obviously was around before the internet was in its infancy, really, wasn't it, in the sense of fandom as we know it. There were certain groups and chat rooms and things, I imagine, at the time, but were you involved in those going back in the day? So obviously you were involved with the Harry Potter group, but were you involved in early X-Files fandom before then?
Well, I didn't really get a computer until 1999, so, I mean, I had gone over a friend's place and seen like comments from like the X-Files Delphi forum and all that, but I really wasn't able to interact until after I had set up the website in 2005. But I had been a lurker for a long time, and then obviously, you know, I had been following the show privately, you know, so I wasn't really exactly part of the first generation, unlike someone like Sarah Skegel, but you know, at least not as far as in online presence, but, you know, I was floating around out there and, you know, taking in what other fans were commenting about.
So with the Harry Potter lexicon, were there various people involved in that website who came and helped you establish the X-Files lexicon? Was there a dual fandom there with the same kind of people, or did you branch off with another set?
Oh, no. I mean, I Steve Vanderark is the one that set up that website, and really I was just helping. But you know, it was like they're two such separate genres that I didn't really try to bring anybody from that circle into this. I mean, I started the website from scratch as far as having to recruit people, and obviously I guess the quality of the writing was strong enough to where I was able to start recruiting people to help write for the website and chip in with fan art and whatnot. And so, you know, I really did sort of build this from the ground up, the whole enterprise.
That's fantastic as well, because like you say, you were filling a gap that wasn't there in the, you know, in an age where the X-Files was off screen and it had effectively finished in many respects. So it was brilliant to establish a base that drew lots of the fans in, and you know, it's steadily grown from there, hasn't it? And now you have quite a community, don't you, involved in maintaining it and writing articles and things like that?
Oh yes, so we're still recruiting people, and you know, we've got some amazing people that have come on board. There's one figure named Chris Irish who's writing the comic book reviews for the website. He's going to be taking on a bigger role with the website in general, and he's a terrific writer in his own right and a nice guy, and so you'll probably be seeing his presence more over time in the next year or so.
That's fantastic. It's great that it's developing and growing. There was also the Syndicate website as well, which was an offshoot designed to bring other different fan sites and fandom together. What can you tell me about that?
Well, that was an idea that I helped to create along with several other webmasters. And unfortunately, it started off really well, but we haven't been able to follow up with the effort. But basically, it was like a platform. We were trying to network with various sites to participate in it, and sort of increase, you know, cross communication between, you know, fan sites and whatnot, and also, you know, various webmasters. And so it's an idea that's still in development. You know, we have to, you know, be able to register in more people and all that. And then we've been the website, my website's also been in transition because some of the people that have been helping, we're trying to get them back so we can get things more, you know, a little more further along than they are at the moment. So it's in progress, and I'm really optimistic about that we'll be able to expand the Syndicate soon, and you know, be able to, you know, move forward with getting more people online, especially now that we've got the new revival and the new influx of people that are coming on board that are following the series. And you know, a lot of it's also young people too that are discovering the series for the first time, so it's all pretty, you know, pretty amazing. So we're optimistic that we'll be able to get more people come on board, you know, with everything.
I'd hope so, yeah. And you know, this seems like the perfect time to do it with the revival and like you say, a new generation of fans maybe discovering the show and the older episodes. So yeah, I would encourage anyone who's listening to this to check out not just the Lexicon but the Syndicate, and you know, if you're involved in X-Files fandom, get involved there as well, because it sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
Obviously the success of the Lexicon then led to an amazing opportunity when you were invited to contribute to the Blu-ray for the second X-Files movie, I Want to Believe. That was such an amazing thing to must have been asked. The feeling about it must have been fantastic.
Oh yes, it was a total shock. What happened was Frank Spotnick's assistant, Jana Fain, contacted me and asked me if I wanted to get involved. And initially, I was sort of expecting our website would just be, you know, doing coverage or interviews for the show. And then this thing developed completely out of the blue. And so I was able to bring on two staff writers, you know, to help out with this. And it was pretty amazing.
So what exactly was the main contribution to the actual finished Blu-ray then that your team brought to it?
Well, I worked on the interactive timeline that you can find on the Blu-ray.
I love that. I have to say, I love that. I really do. I was telling people about that when I bought the Blu-ray. Sorry to interrupt. I loved that. It was brilliant, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, we were the researchers and consultants for that. The pre-history section is actually stuff that I wrote, and then basically with everything else, we were just simply helping to, you know, go over the synopsises and then, you know, verify the timeline dates and any information that was missed and all this. And it was a pretty staggering job because we had about just under 2 weeks, and we had thousands of spreadsheets to review in that time frame, which is thankfully why I know I had at least two other people help me. And actually, another person who actually has his own X-Files timeline, we should have actually had this other guy on board as well, because, I mean, there was such a huge amount of work to be done.
Mm.
But we managed to get it finished, and, the rest is history. So
it's an incredible resource, you know, when you look, because obviously, you know, a lot of the information on that timeline doesn't necessarily pertain to a lot of the content in I Want to Believe, which is a very standalone movie. So it's got the entire mythology laid out and everything like that. It's just, it must have been an incredibly time-consuming task to actually pick out all that information. And I assume it was primarily watching a lot of the episodes and making detailed notes and things like that. How did you go about compiling it all?
Well, we used it's a combination of watching, obviously, episodes. It was also, there was also Mike Merrick's X-Files timeline. And so, we always were able to use that as a jumping off point and then sort of fill in details from there. So it was a challenge because it was such a narrow time frame to go through all that material. But, it was really an incredible experience, and Fox was really generous, you know, at the time, as far as, making sure we were compensated for our troubles and whatnot.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I had, like I said, you guys did a brilliant job with that. And it helped the film. You know, the film draws mixed reviews with a lot of people, but the extras on the Blu-ray were exemplary. So that's brilliant that you got the chance to do that. So I thank you as a fan, because that was ace.
Oh, thank you. No, I know. I mean, it's really flattering and thrilling to hear, you know, fans complimentary about that. And, you know, this has happened before where fans have come to me and thanked me for that. It's always really a nice feeling to get that kind of feedback.
Well, thank you. I'm glad, because it takes a lot, and it takes a lot of love for the show. And I think it's important, you know, to know that fans appreciate that and all the effort that goes into that and putting that all together, because it's great to just sit there and absorb. So brilliant. I hope they ask you to do more for future Blu-rays and movies or TV shows or whatever. They'd be mad not to, really. So you've pretty much interviewed most of the major faces in behind the camera and in front of the camera on the X-Files. Most recently at the premiere event, which I'll ask you about in a moment. But do you have a particular favorite person you've interviewed, or a particularly favorite interview or moment when you've spoken to people, whether it's Chris Carter behind the camera and his team, or the stars of the show?
Well, there's so many highlights. I'd have to say that Bob Goodwin's interview was probably my favorite, because he was so generous with the information at the time that he was willing to give. It's so tricky with the show because Chris Carter was so conscious of trying to create a mystique that sometimes there's been this tendency to not want to have to reveal too much. And so that's always been the challenge of the website, is to get talent to share as much information about, like, what they do and how they work. And I'm always so fascinated by process, because I have a film background as well. So I'm always really fascinated by seeing how, how other people work and what they do and whatnot. So I'm learning as much from doing the interviews as the fans are learning, because it's sort of like extra school. Even though I did go to college, it's sort of like another way of learning more about how the business works.
Sure, yeah. And speaking to, obviously, Bob Goodwin, who was involved in the first five seasons when they were filming in Vancouver, he had such a massive hand on the show, didn't he, and steering it from very early on, and, you know, directing some amazing episodes. So, yeah, it must have been really great to sit there and just talk it through with him.
Oh yeah. Well, Bob is still, I'm still in terms of Bob. He's really a really super nice guy. And you obviously know who he's married to, of course, right?
Yeah. Sheila Larkin. Yeah. Scully's mother.
Yeah. She's really sweet too.
Oh, and she's in the new series, isn't she? She appears.
She's in the new episode. Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So yeah, that's great that you're still in touch with them as well. That's lovely. So, as I said, you covered the premiere event in Los Angeles just last week, I believe, for the brand new miniseries, and I've seen, as many fans will have done, your interviews on the carpet with David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson, and and Chris Carter. So that must have been an incredible experience. What was it like to be there?
Well, of course, it was a really amazing experience to be invited and having the means to, you know, get over there and do it. And, you know, seeing the episodes, because unfortunately I haven't had a chance prior to that. And it's been two other previous screenings of My Struggle.
Mm.
And there was Comic-Con, and then there was also over in L.A. there in a previous screening. So the premiere was actually the third screening of the episode. So it was really, you know, I was relieved that I was finally able to watch it after everything that had been reported back to me.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
And it was really good. It's, you know, it's going to be, I can't really predict ever, like, how other fans are going to react to the episode, because fans take different things from the X-Files for different reasons.
No.
So, you know, everybody will respond differently depending on kind of what they like about the original series or what they like about the interaction between Mulder and Scully or the mythology or whatever. So I would be the wrong person to predict make any proclamations about if they're going to love it. But I thought that first episode was really quite good. And as I mentioned earlier, it shows Mulder is back in a place where he's more skeptical, ironically, after his of bone abductions and, you know, dying and coming back to life and all the things he experienced. It's an interesting place to be in, but there was a press interview that Chris Carter gave to another reporter that I was involved in, and he talked about how there is a much larger mushroom that you know, not everybody is seeing what the greater whole is, or towards that effect. So, you know, I think we'll have to wait and see what happens with how all these other episodes play out and where the characters are by episode 6.
Yeah, because obviously from what we've been hearing, that there's ongoing, even though there's two bookending mythology episodes, there's ongoing character beats and stories throughout the 6. So by obviously it'll be a full complete picture by the time we get to the end of My Struggle 2. So yeah, it's hard to see. But this is my next question was going to be, what did you think of the episode from your personal perspective, without obviously going into spoilers, because we're recording this the day before it premieres. But what were your, did you get from it what you wanted as a fan? Because as you said, everyone takes different things. But for you as a fan, did you get what you wanted from My Struggle?
I mean, I felt like I did, because I'm more interested in, you know, the mythology aspect. And the new episode feels like it rings very true and is consistent from what we last saw in 2008 as far as the characters. And that was one of the things that's important to me, is that that it emotionally makes sense, and that the characters are depicted realistically as far as their age, because they are obviously, David and Jillian are obviously older, and it wouldn't be realistic to sort of betray them like they were 20 years ago. And so I'm happy to say that, you know, that they are still acknowledging their age, not only for them, but also for, you know, Skinner and whatnot. And so, yeah, I thought it really worked well, and, you know, and hopefully the fans will really love what they see.
Well, so do I. I hope I do. You know, I'm very confident I will, despite the fact that there have been some mixed reviews in the media, and it's wildly mixed in some respects. But I'm confident as a fan I will enjoy it, simply because I never thought this day would come, if I'm completely honest. You know, for years, after I Want to Believe, especially for years, I was just telling myself, that's it, it's done, it's over, until somebody reboots it, which I think they might do one day. But I'm just delighted that we're at this point, and the fandom is going mad. Every day there's new articles on the X-Files or interviews. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful to be experiencing that in this age, in this digital age as well. And it must be great for you as somebody who gets the chance to go to these events and speak to people and meet fans and things like that.
Indeed. Well, it's nice, because we're finally able to get more of the story told and get closer to getting the story fully told, instead of it just having sort of just stopped. And so that's one of the more important things about, you know, this going on is that we're closer to having the rest of the story, you know, told. And in light of like Edward Snowden and NSA and the drone phenomenon and some of the things that are going on, of course, in our society as well as in America, some of the the political candidates that are saying some really truly frightening things, it's just so relevant to the the X-Files comeback right now.
It does feel like, as Chris Carter has said this, hasn't he, in many interviews, but it does really feel like the most appropriate time to bring back a show that was created in the days of a different kind of suspicion and paranoia. And, you know, the world is changing and becoming, you know, even more that way, unfortunately. So it does feel like the right time. And you know, it might capture a similar zeitgeist. Let's hope so.
Indeed. Well, I mean, I was watching Redux too, and it's so amazing that, you know, it's the story where the chip is re-implanted in Scully to curb her cancer. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the real world about citizens, you know, being required or to have, you know, chip implants in their bodies. There's a lot of stuff that's in the media about floating these ideas around nowadays. And the X-Files was really ahead of its time as far as talking about some of these ideas, you know, long before, you know, what we're seeing now is stuff that the X-Files was sort of predicting, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing.
It's and scary. Just briefly, though, moving away from the X-Files itself, obviously that isn't your only single interest and your passion. You've also got quite a few different other strings to your bow as well in terms of directing and musical endeavors as well. What other things, what other passions do you have? What other things do you engage yourself with?
Well, my first real passion is film. I mean, ever since I was, 10 years old and I saw Star Wars, that's really what I want to do. So I've done a fair amount of work in film. I went through a period where I was doing a lot of work in documentary, and then I actually am setting up my own small company. And I actually have a half-hour film that I'm working on getting produced. And then hopefully there's at least two other films, which will be all debuting online and the internet. But it's a slow process, getting, any kind of sort of narrative type films made as far as, independent and whatnot. Then I do a lot of songwriting. My dad's a musician who's worked with some notable people. And so I also just, I do a lot of, music recording and whatnot is more of a hobby than anything else, because, it's the music business is such a tough business to be able to survive in that, unless you're really willing to commit, it's almost better to just, just kind of do your own thing. And I have an art background too, so I still draw and whatnot.
So you have a wide variety of artistic endeavors as well as, running the Lexicon and your journalistic aspects as well. So that's fantastic. And I think that's really good to have all those different things that you can engage and enjoy, really. So that sounds brilliant. Well, is there anywhere we can see any film work that you've done or any music?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm kind of transitioning with, there was one producer that was involved and then couldn't really stay committed because he was busy with other things. And so the plan is I actually shot a trailer over the summer. And we're trying to get that finished. There's some delays with getting that finished. And then the next step is we're going to do a Kickstarter campaign with the trailer that we're working on. And then hopefully we'll be able to raise enough funds to actually get this film, made. And then plan will be after the film is made for it to debut on the internet in like 10-minute segments, because there's a huge market for short form film with the internet right now. So and I like that a bit better than spending a lot of time working on an indie feature that where the odds are really slim that you're going to get a lot of an audience. And also the way that the film festival circuit works is it's also such a challenge to get films into various film festivals that. I actually like this avenue of going and trying to show a film, for the internet market and all that.
It seems, again, like something that is, you're tapping into an area which is immensely popular and a good way of reaching people and tapping into that. So it makes a lot of sense. So yeah, if there's, if you do have anything go up like that, please do let the podcast know and we will promote that on the Xcast just to get your work out there.
Absolutely. It's gonna it's going to be really important to get as much support as possible. So I will definitely pass it on.
That'd be great, definitely. Lastly, really, before I just move on, I just wanted to ask you really what you feel, just going back to the lexicon, what you feel the future is for that site, and how do you feel that engaging with the fandom of the X-Files and fandom in general will evolve as trends and media change in the future?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a challenge because now with things like Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, some of the other, like Instagram and some of the other outlets that are out there, the fandom is a little more diffused because it's not like it was even 7 years ago. So, you know, I mean, what you do is you adapt and you just sort of keep, you know, moving forward and expanding. And we did quite a while, a couple of years back, we did try to set up more video kind of media type stuff with the X-Files Lexicon, and we want to go back to that and actually do what I call Lexicon TV. So we do want to keep expanding and branch out into more media. And I have people that are always constantly telling me that I should do a podcast, but I'm such a fan of, you know, doing print reviews that I'm kind of reluctant to go there. And then the other thing is there also the X-Files Lexicon blog, which I've been working on for years, and I've got other people that are helping with that now. But I mean, I kind of use that as a way to branch off on various subjects over time. There is some other ideas I have for some other sites. I would love to work on putting together a Lone Gunman website.
Oh, fantastic!
A proper one. And hopefully, and there's several terrific Millennium websites, but if I can figure out a way of doing that, I would love to set up another website that's like the Lexicon for Millennium. So there's a couple of things that are in the works as far as that. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, time and, you know, money and all those things to, you know, get those things in place and whatnot.
Of course. It's wonderful to hear, actually, that you're looking to expand with Millennium and Lone Gunman. Obviously, you know, as everyone knows, they are part of the shared X-Files verse, effectively. And it's great. Millennium is especially something that, you know, is sometimes forgotten, and it's such a brilliant series. We'll be covering Millennium on the X-Cast as well as the Lone Gunman. Well, we'll go through the X-Files. But it's great to know that that's going to expand into that. Are you as big a fan of that show? And obviously the Lone Gunman as the X-Files?
I consider myself an across-the-board Chris Carter fan. So, I mean, I always love seeing anything that he's working on. You know, I was a big supporter of The After, and I really would have loved to have seen what he wanted to do with Unique and anything else that he, you know, does want to develop. I will always want to check out, because I just am an across-the-board fan of everything that he's done.
I feel sad that we never got to see more Harsh Realm, actually, back in the day.
I know a lot of people have commented about that, yes.
That had such potential, Harsh Realm. It's a real shame. I sense that it was a little bit ahead of its time, actually. I think it might have done better in the present day, but who knows. But yes, the Lexicon, obviously, as it expands, hopefully will, you know, continue to grow, and sites such as the Syndicate will continue to find fandom. And as the X-Files now comes back into the public consciousness and hopefully stays there, if the miniseries is a success, hopefully this will mean the site only grows and grows, and it'd be wonderful to see that, because we don't want the X-Files to fade away.
Indeed. Well, we'll see. We don't know. We'll see how the ratings do for the first couple of episodes, and if they're phenomenal, then I'm pretty certain that Fox will feel confident in you know, being open to more, depending on everybody's schedule that worked on this show and any other, you know, other ideas that happen in the future.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed. Just make sure you watch it, everybody who's listening to this. Watch it and get those ratings up, definitely. Well, thank you for that, Matt. That was great to hear all about you and the Lexicon and your experiences. I just want to move on and ask you last couple of things.
Sure.
I'm going to ask you what I do with every guest, the section called Do You Believe In? And quite normally we do a specific paranormality depending on the episode we've covered. But in this case, I'm just going to ask you this. Do you believe in the paranormal?
Well, I'm very much along the line of Mulder in that I want to believe. I'm not exactly certain But, you know, I've never really had any direct paranormal experiences myself. I mean, I've had a couple of dreams which were uncannily kind of predictive, and I've had a couple of like dreams where it almost seemed like that there was like some kind of mental download that was occurring, and they usually had some connection to and I've written about this on my blog, but there was like these kind of images I was getting were similar to a lot of aurora type things, phenomena that were going on, aerial phenomena, auroras and things like that. So I can't claim that I've ever had a direct paranormal experience myself. But I, you know, I've read a lot of the work of Carl Jung, and I think a lot of what he says makes a lot of sense. And so I'm totally open to the idea and these things existing. I don't think that you can, I think people that have experienced things that are paranormal or whatever, you can't completely discount their reality, because obviously they experience something that kind of goes outside of the realm of what most of us perceive. And the one thing that I learned a number of years back is that our eyes only take in so much information that our brain processes, or our eyes actually take in more information than our brain processes. So that leaves me open to the possibility that that there may be a lot more going on that we're just simply not able to perceive or process in our brain. So, I mean, this was discussed in, various areas of science and all this. So, you know, I don't know. I'd love to believe. So.
That's a good way of putting it, really. I'd love to believe. Definitely. It's interesting, the whole idea of what the brain's capable of in dreams. It was covered recently in last year in the film Lucy, wasn't it? In I don't know if you saw Lucy with Scarlett Johansson. It was a bit of an extreme, you know, film, but it had the ideas about, you know, the kind of things that we're capable of and that kind of thing. And I think it is a fascinating area, really.
One of the other people that that really is knowledgeable about these things is Christopher Knowles. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He has the Secret Sun website.
I'm not. I must admit, no.
Yeah, I would recommend checking him out, because he often will talk about a whole host of areas like the paranormal in relation to pop culture. And I've known him since 2006, and he's always really an interesting person to look into.
Definitely will then. Definitely. I will absolutely check him out. And I advise anyone who's interested in the paranormal, which most people who listen to this probably are, to give that a look. So thank you for that. I hope one day, you know, we come to understand these things and that the paranormal becomes normal, essentially. So thank you. Finally, I am now going to give Matt a little bit of the what we do to finish every episode, which is the X quiz. And I thought that this time, given we're not focusing on any specific episode, I would focus on the film I Want to Believe, given obviously you were involved in the Blu-ray and putting certain things together. So I'm just going to ask you five questions about I Want to Believe. And these are questions taken from things in the film. So are you okay to have a go at this?
I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm certainly willing to give it a try.
So it's fine. It's fine. I worry sometimes when I do this with people on the show that it's the questions are a little bit hard. So I apologize in advance if they are. Who knows? Question one, then.
Okay.
What is the disease that Scully believes the little boy she's caring for, Christian, has?
I just saw this morning. I was going to notate it, and I'm running a blank, but it was some kind of a debilitating condition that was rare. I don't remember the name of it offhand. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I think that, to be fair, that deserves a mark, really, because it was called Sandhoff disease, but yeah, that's effectively what it was, a debilitating.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that deserves a...
What's interesting about that, I just want to comment.
Sure.
It shows you how Scully's been influenced by Mulder, because she's one of the few doctors that are advocating for an alternative treatment on that condition, when all the other doctors are just conventionally saying, well, you know, there's really nothing that can be done. And I credit Mulder's influence on her, that she actually was willing to take a calculated risk, tried something that was, you know, had a basis in possibly working, it was such a contrast to the more freakish experimentation that the Russian doctors and all that were doing, you know, in the main case that they were working on. So just wanted to say that real quickly.
No, I think that's very true. Actually, that's a really, really good point. That's something that we'll bring up when we cover, I Want to Believe, long, long way down the road for us yet on the XCast. But no, I think you're absolutely right in that it would, after all those years, she would, I think, have a bit more of an alternative look at medicine and the way she works. So, no, good point. Question two. The actress Vanessa Morley plays an FBI agent who passes Mulder in the corridors of the FBI, and they exchange a curious look. But who did she play in the series?
Well, okay. I remember Dakota Whitley, the other agent, which was played by Amanda Peet. Mm. I'm running a blank on
This is admittedly more of a production question, I have to be honest. But it's just an interesting little fact because she actually played young Samantha. So in the scenes...
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. In the scenes where obviously she's been abducted, the classic moments back in the 70s, and the photo that he always carries of Samantha, that's her. So I think the fact that she's passing him in the FBI and they look is a little in-joke to the to the fact that she played his sister. She's quite a cool little thing. Okay, question three. Can you name the animal supply store that Mulder drives to in the movie?
Oh, boy, I'm doing abysmal on.
It's fine. They're tough questions.
I don't remember. I know that I remember it with the Janet character. I remember that he was working at that facility, and the FBI raided it, but I don't remember the name of it offhand.
Well, it was called Nutter's Feed and Animal Store, and it was a reference to the director David Nutter, who obviously came on and he's directed lots of shows over the years.
I should have remembered that.
That's fine.
I was planning on watching I Want to Believe, and the problem is I've been so busy with other things that I just didn't have the time as of this week to sit down. I was working on something else and doing a marathon on everything else related to the mythology, and I wished I had seen it, but I haven't had time to really, you know, watch it again to refresh memory on some of it.
It's fine. I think my questions tend to pick out little things from inside the film that people probably would have to look to notice. So I've been told.
That's right, because I did the same thing with the website. We're crazy meticulous with the website, so, you know, I understand. So on to your next question.
Okay, it turns out I've actually only got four questions, as I thought I had five. But my last question then, in this case, is what is also the name of the hospital where Scully works?
Our Lady of Sorrows.
Yes. Our Lady of Sorrows, which I thought was a really nice name for the hospital. And obviously tapped into Scully's religious aspects as well. So there you go. So out of four, you've scored two, basically. That's pretty good. That's a decent average.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, I, you know, she's still working at that hospital in the new pilot, as people will find out soon. So that's why, you know, the name immediately rang a bell.
Interesting. I will, I'll find out very soon because I'm obviously going to see the episode. Well, actually, because in England, it's a little bit different. It's on TV at the start of February, but you can buy a season pass on iTunes, which I bought. So hopefully I will have the episode by Monday. I think my fingers are crossed because I can't wait till February because it will be spoiled by then.
Yeah, true. That's what I've heard about this. I've heard about this problem in the UK that they were waiting. They were going to be running them later. I thought that's not necessarily a very good idea or a fair idea, because the way this works is things get written about so rapidly nowadays that everything will be revealed before your fine folks in the UK have a chance to see it.
It's true. It's very true. That's why we're lucky with Game of Thrones, because we get Game of Thrones. It is on a pay cable channel, but you can get Game of Thrones like the day after on actual TV. So we're lucky with that show, because that's another very talked about one. But obviously that's such a big phenomenon. With the X-Files, they haven't done that, which is a shame. But Well, it'll be fine.
Indeed, I love Game of Thrones. Mm. I've been following every season of that.
It's an amazing show, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's basically it then. It just leaves me to say a huge, huge thank you, Matt, for coming on and giving up your time to talk about the X-Files and your fandom and what you've done. So I can't thank you enough.
Oh, no problem, Matt. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for your contributions to X-Files fandom, because I think, you know, it'd be lesser without someone like yourself flying the flag, really, for such a great show. So I think on behalf of all the fans who listen to this, big thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do.
Oh, thank you. Well, I remember there used to be a UK forum that I used to be involved in, and that eventually, unfortunately, disappeared. But I remember the people that I met from the UK fans were always, you know, so pleasant and, you know, so smart, and it was always so enjoyable to be able to communicate with them.
Well, thank you. Thank you on behalf of the UK for that. But that's really nice. Thank you. So, we'll be back soon for a brand new episode. But until then, I would urge you to go over to thexfileslexicon.com and please do get involved in the site. Look at all the articles and everything that's on there. It's a fantastic site for any X-Files fan that you cannot miss. And if you are involved in X-Files fandom, go to the syndicateconsortium.com, which is a huge project, which hopefully, you know, more X-Files fans will get involved in if you run anything. So please do go over there and support this and support Matt's work. Is there anything else, Matt, you'd like to promote while you're here, or anywhere else we could find you online?
Well, there were plenty of periods when things were slow that I did a lot of work on the X-Files Lexicon blog, and it's another great place. So I'm hoping that fans that are not familiar with the blog will check it out. We have reviews for the comic books that we've been working on for quite a while, and then I have a lot of past work on that blog itself, which I think fans will find really some fascinating articles in there. So we're always happy to get a promotion for that.
Fantastic. Again, I urge anyone to go over and look at that stuff, because it's all brilliant. So please do check it out. You can obviously find the XCast on iTunes. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. We're on Twitter at @X_cast, and we're on Facebook at @TheXCast as well. So please do leave us any thoughts, get in touch. And as I say, we'll be back for more episodes soon and continuing our voyage through the show. So we hope to see you then. Thank you again, Matt, for your time.
Thank you again. You're welcome.
Thank you. And this has been the XCast. Remember, trust no one. The XCast and X-Files podcast was created by Tony Black and is produced and hosted by Carl Sweeney, Sarah Blair and Kurt North.
You can find the podcast on Twitter at @X_cast, on Facebook by typing in the XCast, and in our group, X-Files Basement, the XCast podcast fan group, and on Instagram at the XCast Pod.
Don't forget, you can support the show by becoming a member on Patreon. Our patrons get early access to episodes, behind-the-scenes chats with our hosts and a thriving community of X-Files, and other premium interviews and specials. To find out more and subscribe, you can go to patreon.com/thexcast. That's patreon.com/thexcast.
We are also part of the We Made This podcast network, full of popular culture shows, including our Millennium series, The Time Is Now. You can find all of our shows at our website, wemadethispod.com, or via Twitter at @WeMadeThisPod.
Thanks for listening, and keep watching the skies.